Welcome to the Kingdom Crossroads Podcast with Pastor Robert Thibodeau. Using an interview format, Pastor Bob will introduce you to men and women whose ministries are impacting this world with the gospel, and will also provide commentary and insight on end-time prophetic events we now see happening in the news. Now here is Pastor Robert Thibodeau.
Everywhere is Pastor Robert Thibodeau. Welcome to the Kingdom Crossroads Podcast today. We're so blessed that you're joining us. Today is part two of my two-part interview with Tom Donnan. Now, if you missed any of our last episodes, you need to go back and catch up because we do not have time to rewind. Amen. But today, we've been talking about current events concerning, you know, the protests, the riots, but we go deeper than just what you see on the surface. And Tom has hit on a very specific thing, which is sin debt, and specifically our national sin debt. Here's Tom Donnan.
Okay, so again, a phrase that I like to use is that people can readily, I hope people can readily get a hold of this, and that is that we have a serious issue with our national debt.
Okay? Oh, man, yeah.
All right, so the printing of the money is becoming serious, and the value of the dollar has been dropping. Mm-hmm. And so people can grasp a hold of that. But what people don't seem to get a hold of is our national sin debt.
Mm-hmm.
All right, yeah. Before God, that sin debt is huge. And what is taking place in our society is that we have areas of our country that are denying God and becoming more sinful. But what happens in the sinfulness? It gets worse. One bad spiritual door opens up a deeper bad spiritual door, and then another bad spiritual mm-hmm. door. And it gets to the point where then now you got people that want to just rise up against any kind of light. You know, mm-hmm. we're starting to see that take place in the violence that we're seeing in the West Coast and in other areas, like on some places on the East Coast. And it is a glaring difference between the light and the darkness. Yeah. And when you watch the profanity and the hatred mm-hmm. Of the videos that is taking place and the sheer lack of concern about life, you know, and it's terrible. They would not hesitate in hurting or maiming or killing someone in the opposite direction of their beliefs.
Yeah, yep. Yeah, there is no, that's what we're saying, there's no more, you know, discussion. It's, you either bleed the way I do, or I'll take it out on you and beat you into submission, basically is what it is.
Yeah. Yeah, so this is the thing that happens when you got unchecked sin in society. Mm-hmm. So I like the quote that I found in Matthew Henry's commentary, and it says, "Perilous time shall come, mm-hmm. for men shall be wicked." Now, in his note, it says, "Sin makes perilous times. When there is a general corruption of manners and of tempers of men, this makes the times dangerous to live in.
Yeah.
For it is hard." Uh-oh. Where's the next page? Oh.
Hard to keep our integrity.
Ah, thanks. Yeah. Hard to keep our integrity of general corruption. The coming of perilous times is evident of the truth of spiritual predictions, scriptures, predictions, excuse mm-hmm. me, scriptures, yeah. predictions.
Yep.
And evidence. That's what we're talking about.
Yeah. This is the evidence of the day and time in which we're living, that the scriptural predictions are happening before our very eyes.
Yes, they are. Yes.
Amen. You know, and you see that throughout the Bible. You know, I mean, you know, Isaiah 5, you know, woe to the wicked, right? Woe to those who call evil good and good evil, who turn darkness to light, light to darkness, who replace bitter with sweet, sweet with bitter. Woe to those who are wise in their own eyes and clever in their own sight. I mean, you know, everyone says, well, if God's real, how come he doesn't deal with it? Oh, he will.
He's going to, yes,
he
and
will.
It's not going to be fun.
Yeah, it is not going to be pretty. You know, I can remember, you know, doing something, I can't remember what it was, but my dad said, "Get in the car, I'll deal with you when we get
Uh-oh.
Home." And that was the longest 10-minute drive, because you knew what was coming.
Yes.
It's kind of like, you know, when your parents yell at you, you know, to do something, okay,
yeah.
whatever. But when they use your middle, first and middle name,
Yeah, look out.
Yeah, and when they use all three names together, yeah, you might as well just start stuffing padding down there because it's coming.
Yeah. You know, another thing that I often reference is Amos, the book of Amos, you know, because it talks about the sins of the nation of surrounding areas. Mm-hmm. And at the end, what happened is that Amos challenged the ruling class to say, hey, listen, you're in sin. And they said, go back and do your sheep herding.
Yeah.
Now, here's the interesting part is that God allowed them to continue down on road for some time, mm-hmm. right? And then all of a sudden he said, enough is enough.
Yeah.
And then they were destroyed. Now, people of Amos days, if they knew what was coming, they would have repented, but they didn't.
Yep.
And so therefore God said, okay, I've given you a grace period here, and the grace period is over, and then he sent a conquering force and they were brought into captivity. All right. And then it's the same thing with today. If people knew what was coming, they would repent, and we mm-hmm. need repentance on a vast scale.
Yeah. Yeah. Amen. Amen. And Jesus gave plenty of warnings. I mean, he has in the days of Noah, you know, that 100 and some years Noah was building that ark. All they did was make fun of him and didn't believe anything he was saying. You know, what's rain? What do you mean water falling from the sky? That's never happened. Well, you're a crazy old man, you know?
Yeah.
But, the part that I love emphasizing when I'm preaching on this in churches is it says, and God shut the door to the... Noah did not shut the door. It says, God shut the door. And when God shuts the door to who can get raptured out of this stuff, there's going to be people, I mean, Jesus said there'll be people, you know, Lord, Lord, open to us. You know, we went to church, you know, we did all these great things. And he's like, I don't know you, you know.
Whoa. And,
you know, I mean, he specifically referenced Noah, just as in the days of Noah. You know, and we're seeing the days of Noah played out in our own televisions every night right now.
Yes.
You know?
Yes, it is so scary. No, and then as we move forward, what happens is that it seems as though the darkness thinks that they are in control. No, mm-hmm. And the definition, I like the definition that we have about the lovers of self. I was looking up, and it talks about covetousness. Mm-hmm. Observe, self-love brings a long train of sin and mischief. Doesn't that sound interesting?
Oh, yeah, amen.
When men are lovers of themselves, no good can be expected from them, as the good may be expected from those who love God and with all of their heart. So I was looking at this up. Here's a bite. Wait a minute. Okay, is that for people who are listening? Do a search in YouTube and put in their rapture dreams. Right. I was stunned. I can't believe how many people are having rapture dreams. It's popping up all the time. And it's the young people. It's like 16 to 35. And I'm thinking, Lord, what are you doing? Because I'll tell you what, they have these dreams and these experiences, and it's like they are living it. And to them, it is so real. They're looking for it to happen tomorrow. Okay? Mm. And so do a good search on that. But getting back to this thing about the self-love, I looked it up and I got a video clip of Pastor Francis Kahn. Did you take a look at that?
Yeah. I mean, it's, you know, this is, wow.
It's a short clip.
Yeah, but when you're dealing with narcissism, it's, you know, these people today... I'm at a loss for words to even try and put into, you know, what my heart is sensing.
Yeah, it's hard.
You know? Yeah. I mean, and it's being encouraged by the media. You know, everything is, you know, there's no good news coming in through the television screen or for most, you know, even on social media or, you know, just about every platform of social media out there is advocating and promoting anti-godly behavior.
Yeah. Yeah. Now, when you're talking about the narcissist, the few times in my life that I have had to deal with a narcissist, the thing is that they're unreachable.
Yeah,
Their behavior is locked into their mind, and it's a feed me type of thing. You know, mm-hmm. I sometimes I will reference the concept of a black hole. black hole in space is that it sucks up everything that is near it. Even light goes in there and turns to blackness and void. There are some people that are like black holes. No matter what you do for them, they will suck everything out of you. They will use it up, and then it's going to be gone, and they're going to be looking for more. And that seems to be the generation that we're having, part of the generation we're having today. It's the me group. Me.
Yeah. Yeah. Right. Amen. Yeah. That is so true. And that's, again, that's the separation that's taking place. You know, that takes us back to that phrase again, that hydrophobic. That's, that's part of, you know, the water can't mix with oil. And some groups in society today, they refuse to mix with anything that's doing good.
Exactly. And so now this is like the pivotal point here. We're going to talk about what the Bible says is a reprobate mind. Okay, so when we take a second look about this, people who are lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boastful, proud, abusive, disobedient to their parents, grateful, unholy, without love, unforgiving, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, not lovers of good, treacherous, rash, conceited, lovers of pleasures rather than lovers of God. What is the result? A reprobate mind. Now, I always had a very bad thought about that until I looked up the definition. All right. The definition is unprincipled or wicked person, sinful. But the one reference that I got a hold of that really kind of makes sense to me, and it was, is that the reprobate mind is spiritually worthless.
Ooh. Wow. Yeah.
And so then you have a segment of society that no matter what spiritual light or foundation or truth that you give them, they can't absorb it because it's already turned off. It's turned off in their minds. It's how do you reach a person like that without having a move of God?
Yeah, amen. And that word wicked, that the root word of that refers back to wicker furniture, which you take a piece of straw, which is weak in itself, but when you twist it together, it becomes strong. And that's where wicker comes from, which is the root for wicked. Their mind, their everything about them is twisted.
Yeah. You know? Twisted from the truth.
Yeah.
And so anything goes when that concept is received. Then anything goes. And they're going to be subject to being gullible and receiving thoughts from other people. And so that is where that it becomes dangerous.
Amen. Amen.
So now let's take a look at when I was looking at this area here, they become unreachable.
Yeah.
You can't reason with them because there is no higher authority. There is no higher morality.
Yeah, other than themselves.
Me.
Yep.
No?
Amen.
And so the I decided that I often have engaging conversations with people who are atheists. You know, atheists believe in something. They just don't believe in God.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
They don't believe in, you know, a one benevolent being. Okay. Yep. So I came across this video of a testimony of an atheist turned Christian. Now, there's a great book out there by Lee Strobel who was the same thing. He was a deep thinker, you know.
Yeah.
Case for Christ. Anybody who wants to go down that road and discover it, it's a great book.
Yeah, right? I've read that book like three times.
Awesome.
Yeah, it's awesome.
Okay, so here's this person in the video that we got a link to. And when she was raised with her father reading Carl Sagan's book of the cosmos, right? And so that in itself is a foundation without God. And so this is where she grew up, embracing science, reason, evidence based off of what you can prove. And that made sense to her. The fascinating part was, is that she lived that life until she had a baby. Mm-hmm. When she had a baby, she's looking down at this innocent child and she's thinking to herself, okay, I love this child. She is feeling love for this child, but she couldn't prove that love. Because it wasn't tangible. It wasn't skin and bone. It wasn't molecules. No, it was intangible, but yet it is a real thing. And that started her to be able to move down the road of examining this. And so that's a fascinating part. You see, even with atheists, I've had awesome conversations. They're willing to dialogue back and forth. The people that we're seeing demonstrating today, they're not willing to dialogue back and forth.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So at least this person, there was an opening there to be able to start the process. And when she did, what happened is that she looked into all the religions of the world. You know, this is the way I am sometimes. You know, when I want to know something, I just throw myself into it. It could be 6 weeks, 8 weeks longer. I'm just absorbing everything I can because I want to know.
Yep.
You know,
Amen.
And this is what she did until her husband, as she says, a non-practicing Christian, in itself is very scary in our day because you don't want to be lukewarm.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he said you need to read the Bible. So what happened is that she decided that she's going to disprove it, and this comes back to, Lee Strobel, because he did the same thing.
Yep.
She tried to disprove it and wound up finding out that it's provable.
Yeah.
And that brought about her conversion.
Yep. Amen. Amen. And that, you know, when that happens to society, where we can have that type of conversation to just say, just listen to me for a minute. And you go down that road, that's what brings revival, you know. And really, revival starts in the church, you know, by sharing the faith, sharing the gospel. You know, we've been told to just shut up, stay inside it. Well, lately they don't even want you to go to church. But, you know, just shut up. You can worship whatever you want inside the church. Just don't, you know, go out on the street and share in your faith.
Yeah.
But when the Christians finally say, you know, enough's enough. We're going to do what we need to do. And they start sharing it. That's where revival comes. And that is what helps spread the gospel. And the gospel is a gospel of peace. You know,
yeah,
and that's what we need in this nation.
Oh yeah, I had a young man come in maybe about a month ago, and during the course of the conversation, it became known that he was a Methodist. Well, I got excited about this because I know about John Wesley, you see, and how John Wesley was invited into churches sometimes three times a day to do speaking, right? And then he came over to the United States because he was going to evangelize the Cherokee Indians, and he stayed in Savannah, Georgia for 2 years and was fruitless. And in utter despair, he decides that he's going to go back to England and do some investigating, because when he originally came over to Savannah, he was on a boat that had 30 or 40 Moravians on there. And those Moravians were so on fire for God. Now, they were in a terrible storm, and it looked like they weren't going to make it to shore. And everybody is fretting for their life. They're seriously concerned about their life, except for these Moravians. They're praying and singing and worshiping God. So he decided that he was going to go back there and hook up with the Moravians, and he did. He wound up being with them for 6 months, and the leader of the Moravians came to him and said, "Listen, John, this isn't this hard." He said, "It's not this hard. You need to just receive this gift."
Yeah.
And so he received the gift, and this is what happened. He became a fire carrier.
Mm.
He became a Pentecostal carrier of the fire and the passion of God, and he witnessed all over America.
Yeah.
He let that. We need Pentecostal fire carriers today.
Yep. Amen. Amen. That's what we need. That's what will bring revival to this land. You know, again, these are the days and time Jesus talked about, separating, to make it visible, separating the darkness from the light. And the people whose eyes are open in darkness, they'll tend to drift towards the light. You know, and that's what we need. You experienced this at a conference, right?
Oh, I'm telling you, it was striking. You know, for people who I haven't mentioned this I have mentioned this before, but I haven't heard, is that once a year I try to go on a pilgrimage to a place called Moravian Falls, North Carolina, right? And there is a place there that they call Prayer Mountain, and I go up on Prayer Mountain, and I have the most unbelievable divine appointments up there. And it happened. My friend Pastor Phil is shocked with the stuff that happens up there. I could take an hour to just explain the things that I have had go on. So this time I am in the hotel room the second night. I'm in the hotel room, and what happens is that I hear a sound in the middle of the night, and it's a doorbell. And I understand what that doorbell means, is that, "Tom, I got something that I'm going to bring across your path, and I want you to open up to." So there it is in the morning. I go down for breakfast, and there's a whole bunch of people that are down there, and I start chit-chatting with a couple of women, and they're talking about this conference that they're part of that's right there in the hotel. So as we're walking back, I'm going to go back to my room and have some more coffee. I stop right by the entrance way for one last question or something they were going to say, and I'm looking inside the room, and this guy looks at me, and he stops what he's doing, turns, walks right up to me, and goes, "Hey, you want to be part of this?" Well, whoa. Yeah, I know, I do, right? So I'm in this conference. It's going to be 2 days from the point that I entered. And so I'm in there morning, noon, and night, and there is people that are truly gifted with the Holy Spirit. And I see words of knowledge, specific words of knowledge for people who have specific diseases that are called up, and they are prayed for healing. And I thought, okay, well, I've seen that with Pastor Phil. And so in the evening, I'm thinking, you know what, Lord, why in the world am I here? Right? Can you imagine asking God that, right? I said, listen, this is so spiritually dry, Lord. Why am I here? And then shortly after that, the person who was leading the worship team went into some kind of Hebrew prayer blessing, right? And as he was praying this, there was a spiritual being that entered the room. I'm telling you, it was so tangible. It was striking. I had my eyes closed at the time, and then I opened up my eyes, and there was probably about 150 people in the room, and every single person had their hands raised up like saying, "Abba, Father, pick me up," right? I could sense this spiritual being sweeping back and forth in the room, and then they realized what was happening, and they went into something that was called a prayer tunnel, where you go through, and people pray for you, and they anoint you. And I told a woman came up to me and said, "Hey, what did you think about that afterwards, the prayer tunnel?" And I said, "I feel like I've just been through the Jiffy Lube." I said, I got so much oil on me. But I felt like a little child. I was childless in the Lord. It was absolutely wonderful. Can you imagine what would happen to our society, our churches, if the Holy Spirit came into churches like that?
Yeah. Amen.
Oh, that would be transforming.
Amen. But they got to seek Him to do it. You know,
yeah.
Unfortunately, there's a lot of churches out there that don't believe in the spiritual elements like that. They don't believe that they need to be the ones who separate the light from the darkness. You know, they don't, and that's reflective in our society today. You know, as we just got a couple minutes left, I want to kind of float back a little bit to that hydrophobic, contrast between the oil and water and the living water, you know. And we have some examples. I mean, not every large city has gone down the, riot, protest, burn the whole city down type of mentality. There's some cities in the United States that, the police have done their job. The government authorities in charge have done their job and protect the citizens of the city. And do you want to go over a couple of those, a couple of examples?
Sure. Real quick, it's not going to take much time to be able to have people see what's going on in Seattle, Portland.
Mm-hmm.
No.
Yeah.
And the people who are in charge are allowing the destruction to take place.
Yep.
And it is terrible, the lives that are being destroyed. You know, there are a lot of people putting their houses up for sale. There are people that are leaving when their leases are up for their apartments or condos. They're leaving, because they don't want to stay in that area. And so you can see that spiritual darkness, but probably not known too much is about Oklahoma City or Nashville, where people are enforcing the rule of law.
Mm-hmm.
And so in that area, what happened is that in Oklahoma City and Nashville, when they confronted protesters, when they started to cross the line, they enforced the law. And they arrested them, or they inhibited them from being destructive. Yeah. Yeah. It didn't take place. So what's happening behind the scenes? Because you got this stark drastness between the Seattle and Portland and Oklahoma City and Nashville.
Mm-hmm.
What's the difference? And it's because it's the heartland of the of America, which is Bible believing.
Yeah.
No. And on that foundation, you can see that the actions that were taken as a stark contrast between light and dark. But so you have to ask, what in the world is happening behind the scenes? And you can start to see somebody, some group wants to see America destroyed.
Yeah, yep, that's right. And the person behind that, or the entity behind that, is Satan himself.
There you go.
Yeah. Amen. I mean, that's why it's so important for Christians to pray for revival, for, you know, the changing of hearts, not just in their church, not just in their community, but all across this land.
Yeah.
I mean, we're living in the days Jesus talked about as, quote-unquote, the end-time harvest. As a matter of fact, we're getting ready to close, but we can't have a discussion without talking about signs in the heavens. Did you see the recent news report about a asteroid going to be passing between the Earth, and the Moon coming up in just at the time of this recording, just a couple weeks?
Yeah. That's absolutely amazing because, you know, you and I say, okay, all right, and when they say it's, you know, a couple hundred thousand miles or so from the Earth, okay, that's not even close. Yeah. But when you get it inside the Moon, now we're starting to get close. And this one is 1/5 the distance from the Moon. Okay, this is where it's going to pass by. But the interesting part is that there is a rabbi. What was his name?
It's
not important.
Yeah, I don't have it in front of me. I know who you're talking about, though.
Yeah. And the link will be down there. The thing is that he was using the Bible code, which comes back to Daniel 12:4.
Glazerson.
Okay, good.
Yeah. Rabbi Glazerson. Yep.
You're a little bit quicker than I would have been because it would have been the recording would have been over, and that's what I would have remembered. All right, so he was doing some Bible code investigations where they have algorithms where they go in there and they take a look and they start to see these messages that are in certain areas of text. And so this is what this YouTube is about, because Daniel's prophecy is coming true before our eyes, where it says knowledge will increase, and the knowledge has increased to where they can see the Bible codes because of the computers. And in this Bible code, it says that there is going to be an asteroid that will pass on the first of Elul, which is the Jewish month for September, September 1st, the exact day that this asteroid is going to be passing by. And so in the other things that are said in this section of script was the coronavirus, right? It says corona is in there. Also, it says, I call heaven and earth to witness against you this day. Uh-oh, that's kind of ominous, isn't it?
Amen.
No. Yeah. And that means is that in Bible times, there was no doubt that God used the heavens and the earth to be able to say, take a look what's going on here because I'm trying to reach you and shake you. You know, the signs in the sky, peace being lost on the earth, plague, sickness, you know, goes on and on. Mm-hmm. And so the thing is that they annually blow the horn on the day of a first.
The shofar. Right?
Shofar. And it says, the ram horn sounded throughout the encampment of the wandering Jews, warning them against sinning against, again, while Moses was gone. Now, this is a kind of like a tradition. Thus, the sages institute the blowing of the shofar in the first day of Elul, according to the 16th century text. Now, why was this important? Because it's a remembrance that we need to repent.
Amen.
You know, and God uses these signs. We got these asteroids whizzing by us on a regular basis now.
Yeah, that's right. This isn't the first one that passed this close. We've talked about several of them before.
Yes.
And, you know, I mean, recently there was that comet that we hadn't heard anything about, and all of a sudden it was there. You
know? Yeah.
These things are happening more. And you think with all these deep-looking satellites, you know, that we'd see these things coming. But
no,
you don't hear about them. Oh, by the way, there's a comet that's going to be visible tonight.
Yeah, I know. It's pretty amazing. Amen.
Well, Tom, we're all out of time. Praise the Lord. Time just goes so fast when we're talking together. But if someone wanted to get in touch with you, how can they do that?
All right. They can reach me by my email, which is healingthenation1776@gmail.com or my Facebook page at Healing the Nation Ministries.
Amen, amen. We always run out of time. We don't get a chance to talk about your books. Folks, Tom Donnan has several books on Amazon. Just type in the name Tom Donnan. You know, you got Healing the Nation, Spiritual House Cleansing, Pastors in the Presence of God, 7:14, like chapter 7, verse 14 in the Bible, 7-14, Angels on Assignment. And folks, you need to check these books out. The links will be down below. And Tom, thank you for coming back on the program, catching us on current events as they relate to Bible prophecy. I'm looking forward to our next conversation.
Thank you very much, Pastor. We always have fun.
Yes, we do. Amen. Folks, that's all the time we have for today. For Tom, Don, and myself, this is Pastor Bob reminding you, be blessed in all that you do. Are you a Christian entrepreneur, coach, or author with a message that needs to be heard? Picture this. Your voice reaching thousands, your story inspiring hearts, and your business flourishing like never before. Introducing Faithcasters, the ultimate platform that connects faith-driven professionals like you with the power of podcasting. Become a sought-after guest on faith-based podcasts, share your unique insights, and connect with like-minded individuals who share your passion for faith and entrepreneurship as well. Imagine your expertise reaching a wider audience, expanding your network, and propelling your business to new heights. Well, it's all within reach with Faithcasters. So don't wait. Take the first step today on your journey to greatness by visiting our website at faithcaster.org. That's faithcaster.org. Join the Faithcasters community now and unleash the full potential of your faith-driven enterprise. You do not want to miss this opportunity. Faithcasters, where faith meets podcasting and your dreams become reality. Visit faithcaster.org. Let's soar together. And remember, anyone can be a podcaster, but only a Christian can become a Faithcaster. Faithcasters, your voice, your platform, your success.